Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
So, it was very interesting. I didn't plan it this way, but I had actually every day and every class planned out. But I didn't have the last sermon planned out. That was kind of left up to Yahweh, what He wanted to share with you today. But since our theme of the school has been Hebrews 11:6, I felt inspired that the message I'm giving today is the faith needed to enter eternity. The faith needed to enter eternity. And I've said before, faith is a mindset. It's not a subject you just teach, it's a mindset. It's something you have to live in. The same as eternity is a mindset. We talked about that. Are you living in time or are you living in eternity? What's your mindset? And you have to live in that eternal mindset daily, because you can't switch. It's almost like when you're looking at health, right? You can't go the conventional health way and take the pharmakia that is given to you, you know, from the doctors in the hospitals, and then try to also take the health way and mix them together. You got to go one way or the other. And it's the same here. Either you're living in eternity or you're living in time, one or the other. But remember, very soon, time will be no more. So if you're living in time, you're living for something that's not going to be there. And I say this to people that, like sometimes youth, and, you know, they ask me about, you know, do you think I should go to college? You know, and I say, well, it depends. What are you going for? Because think about it. If you got to go 4 years to undergrad and then maybe 2 years to grad and then maybe two or three more years to get a doctorate, and if you're doing it in a subject that when the kingdom comes won't be there, is it really worth 7 years of your life at this point in time if you're going to learn something that the kingdom's going to come and boom, that will not even be there at that time? So I want to start in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance, literally the foundation, the assurance, that's the Aramaic word, what it means, of things being hoped, and that hope is not like, oh, I wish it happens, that's the sephartha, that's an assurance of something to come. And it was the substance of things that have come to pass, and the evidence of things not having been seen. So we see whether it's past, present, or future, it's all the same. It doesn't make a difference because Yahweh is eternal, right? He was, He is, and He is to come. So when you're living in faith, it doesn't matter whether it's the past, the present, or the future. It's all the same in the mind of Yahweh. Faith is reality. Faith is substance. So I know, like, if you talk to people from the Christian world, and you'll tell them something like, you know, like, you don't go to heaven when you die, you could show them all the scriptures, and they'll just say, like, very, you know, proudly, well, I just believe it in faith. But that's not faith. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Faith isn't blind trust. That is not faith. So it's a different word that what they're believing, but what the world thinks is faith is actually just a blind trust of hope that doesn't even exist. And then verse 6. I hope this verse means a lot more to you today than the day you came in. But without faith, it's impossible to please Yahweh. Now we see it, right? It's all or nothing. Because even 99% faith and 1% doubt, you're still doubting Him. So here it is, an eternal being that has no beginning, no end, that spoke, and the heavens were created, and the earth was created. And every single thing, every atom of every person, every, you know, tree that's made, you know, no matter what it is, Yahweh created everything. And for us to even have 1% doubt, why should He give us anything that we want? Like it says in Jacob, you know, those who doubt, they're like a double-souled man. You know, one way you're saying you believe, which is really a hope, but then the other end, you're not doing it because you're having what we're going to see here, fear that comes in. But without faith, it's impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that He is. That's all He's asking. He's not asking you to believe anything else. When you believe in faith, you don't have to figure out how it's going to come. And that's what I say. Faith is not believing you will be healed. It's believing you can be healed. It's believing that whatever is going to happen, it's in Yahweh's will. Romans 8:28. All things happen for the good, right? But you got to believe he is. You know, that's all he's asking. Just believe he exists. And if he exists, everything else becomes easier in your life. And that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So again, nothing can happen in my life that can be negative because Yahweh wouldn't allow it. Even challenges that I go through in life, those things are to purify me and to make me stronger. So we cannot please Yahweh without simply believing who he is. Luke 18. And what's the problem? The problem is the normalcy bias. It's the world we're living in. And look what Yeshua says. Luke 18, verse 7. Will not Elohim do all the more vengeance for his elect who call on him by day and by night, and he will be long-suffering with them? So we are the ones sighing and crying for the abominations in the earth. And he says, and I say to you that he will do their vengeance quickly. Nevertheless, the Son of Man will indeed come, and will he find faith on the earth? So he will come, but will he find faith? Meaningly, no, there will not be faith in the earth when Yeshua is returning. And he also spoke this parable to some of those relying on themselves, that they are righteous and despising the rest. So right after he says, will he find faith in the earth, the very next sentence says, he gives a parable to those relying on themselves. And sometimes we have to think about this. What we might be thinking is faith is nothing more than self-reliance. It could be self-righteousness. You know, that we are going to self-righteously believe we're going to be healed, or we're going to self-righteously believe Yahweh's going to do this or do that. And like I said, faith is not believing that we know what he will do. It's believing we know he can do. And that's where the faith comes in, that we trust him no matter what it is. And it's like a parent with a child, right? Where the child could be sick, or maybe, you know, something happened and he fell and he's bleeding and you got to get that piece of glass or something out of there. So the child might not know how the parent is going to do it, but they trust that parent. They trust that parent that parent is going to do it and get it out. And even though it's going to hurt, they're trusting that the parent is doing what is best for them. Luke 17 in verse 22. Luke 17 in verse 22. Because we're living in a time, like I said, where there is no faith and many people on this planet are going to perish. And he said to the disciples, days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man and will not see it. I think we're living in those days. And they will say to you, lo here or lo there, do not go away nor follow. For as lightning, as for flashes lightning from heaven, and all that is under heaven is lit, such will be the Son of Man in his day. But first it is necessary he suffer many things and be rejected by the generation. And that's the generation we're living in. And as was the days of Noah, so will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed all. And likewise, it was in the days of Lot. We were there. We saw it, Lot's cave. They were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. But on the day Lot went out from Sodom, Yahweh rained down fire and brimstone from the heavens and destroyed them all. According to those things, it will be in the day the Son of Man is revealed. So we already see it. It's like the days of Noah, right? We see already them using AI and all these other things and demonic ways of changing people's DNA and doing all this. We see the days of Lot. We see homosexuality being rampant in the earth. And we see these things going. In that day, he who will be on the housetop, let him not come to take his goods from the house. And likewise, he in the field, let him not return for the things behind. Remember Lot's wife. We talked about that last week. Whoever seeks to save his life, he will lose it. And whoever will lose it, he will preserve it. So we must lose our life in time to preserve it for eternity. That's the key. You got to make a decision now whether you're going to live for time or you're going to live for eternity. So you have to lose your life in time if you're going to live your life for eternity. And if you're living in one or the other, it's very difficult. Because like I said, it's the same way. It's very hard if you're taking the pharmakia to try to take something healthy. They don't mix together. And neither does time with eternity. Because time is simply something that's created. It's a piece of eternity that will be no more. But you got to make that decision. Are you living for time or are you living for eternity? Whoever seeks to save his life, he will lose it. Whoever will lose it, he will preserve it. So that's the decision. And you know what's interesting? When we lack faith, the ironic part is we're lacking faith because we're trying to preserve the flesh, right? Those are the things. It's either something with health, or it could be something with money to pay for our things, right, or a job. So usually when we're lacking faith, it's not in simple things. You know, that's why I say, like, when people come to faith, nobody has a problem usually giving up pork or giving up shellfish or stuff like that. But when it comes to losing a job or losing a house or something, you know, like that, then you lack the faith. And yet here, like it says, unless you're willing to lose your life, you won't preserve it. You have to make that decision. Are you going to live in time or are you going to live in eternity? Haggai 1 and verse 2. Another important scripture that we are, I believe that Yahweh is telling to his congregation today. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "So speaks Yahweh of hosts, saying, this people says the time is not come, the time to build the house of Yahweh." And that's another thing. There's people out there that they want a time exactly when Yeshua is going to return, and they want to stay part of Satan's world to that last very second. You know? How would that have worked if you were on the Titanic and you were staying to the last second? It doesn't work. It doesn't work in life, and it certainly isn't going to work with Yahweh. He's not calling us. We talked about the great human potential. He's not calling you to be an ambassador. He's not calling you to be a son or daughter. He's not calling you to be a king and a priest forever, to stay in Satan's system, to work for Satan till the last minute, and then jump ship. You know who does that in the world? All these people that are just out for money. They take a job, and they know they're not going to stay in that job long, but they never tell the boss, right? And they're trained in everything, but then they're going to jump ship the minute something better comes. And they're just looking for themselves, and they're looking for whatever they can get from that. And you think Yahweh wants somebody like that in his kingdom? You think he's calling you to live in eternity forever? And you're going to say, okay, I'll stay in time until it gets real bad, and then I'll jump ship and come over to you. Those are the people that Yahweh is going to say, Yeshua is going to say, I never knew you. He's looking from the minute you're baptized, from the minute you make that covenant relationship. Do you realize what you're doing? You're not just getting wet in water. You are making covenant. We went over this, the 9 steps to the blood covenant. Part of that blood covenant is every single thing you belong to you and everything you have is for your covenant partner. It's the same as marriage. We talked about these are just relationships Yahweh makes to teach us. So when a man and a woman, they plan this great marriage, they have this great ceremony, everything is great. And then the day after they're married, does the wife say, hey, I'm going out on my own. I could do better down here. See you later. You know, let me know when you die so I can get my inheritance. You made a commitment when you went under that water and you said to Yahweh and you said to Yeshua, you will be first in my life. And are you fulfilling that? Are you fulfilling that commitment? You know, or is it Laodicean? Is it lukewarm? Is it half and half? So that's what he's saying, right? And the word of Yahweh was to Haggai the prophet, is it time for yourselves to live in your roofed houses and my house lies in ruin? And now look at this. He was talking about them going back and rebuilding, right? The sanctuary, the temple at that time. But look at this at the end time. You know, the Yahweh's house, I don't know if I'd say it's in ruin, but it's definitely needs some repairs. When you look at all the people out there, right? And the people really... And this is what I learned when I went to Israel. I learned very quickly I was not going to get very far witnessing to Jewish people because their minds aren't open and Yahweh hasn't opened it yet. There's a time when Yahweh will open their minds and that's up to him. People think I lived in Israel to convert Jewish people. Never. It wasn't the point. It would be fruitless. But who are the people now that need us the most? Other believers. Sabbath believers. Sacred name people that don't have all the truth that they need, right? Yahweh's house is in ruin. People are in tatters. Faith is, like he says, nowhere. So, what does he say? He says, what we're living in our roofed houses while his house lays in ruin. And now, so says Yahweh of hosts, set your heart on your ways. You have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink and you're not filled. You dress, but there's no warmth to you. Yea, one earning wages earns his wages to put in a bag with holes. So even if you search out the physical, that's the way it is in Satan's world, right? You're going to put it in your pocket and it's going to just go out there. It's like having a bag of holes. So says Yahweh of hosts, set your heart on your ways. What is your way? Is it for time or is it for eternity? Go up the mountain and bring wood and build this house, and I will be pleased with it, and I will be glorified, says Yahweh. You looked for much, and behold, little. And when you brought it home, then I blew on it. Why, declares Yahweh of hosts? Because my house that's ruined in you, each man runs to his own house. Remember the servant? I'm going to read it here. You know, when he comes from the field, does he say, hey, you're working hard, sit down? No, you do my work first, and then you eat. And this is what Yahweh is saying now. The wedding invitations have gone out, and are you accepting yours? Are you accepting it? Are you getting that wedding garment ready? Or are you still, you know, going off and working on your own paneled house while his house is in ruin? On account of this, the heavens above, you have held back the dew, and the earth has held back from her produce. And I called for a drought in the land and on the mountains. And we're seeing a lot of drought all over the world today. We're seeing in certain places floods, in certain places drought. And on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on that which the ground produces, and on man and on livestock and on all the labor of your hands. So what is it? What is it? Are you working for the kingdom of Yahweh? Or are you working for the kingdom of time? Are you just basically killing time to survive day to day, you know, or are you working for Yahweh? Matthew 6 and verse 19. Because I brought this question up a little bit ago. I forget who I was talking to. But I said, here's one way you can really check yourself. If you went to your work, you know, Monday morning, and you come in, the boss calls you in, and he says, oh, you know, we love how you're doing. You do a great job here. You know, we really appreciate what you're doing. But to be honest, the way things are, we can't pay you anymore. You know, we want you to stay, and we like you, but we can't give you any money. How many people would stay with their job? And the people I asked said they wouldn't, which tells you something. What are you doing then? You know, you're a king and a priest. We're preparing for the kingdom of Yahweh, and you're just wasting time? And that's, we're living in time, you know, that's all we have now. We're going for eternity, but are you just wasting time? And there's jobs that people would keep, which are good. If you have a job, that's something that is really, maybe you're working in an orphanage, you said, you know what, if they couldn't pay me, it'd be tough, but I'd still do it. But if you're literally working a job, and you know, the Bible says we do have to, you know, work 6 days. But it's even worse if you're working that job 40 or 50 hours. That is like a no-no. That you're working a job 40, 50 hours a week, that if they didn't give you money, you wouldn't be doing it. You know what you are? You're a prostitute when you're doing that. That's all you are. You're a prostitute. You're doing it simply for the cash. And these are choices we have in our life, right? There's a lot of jobs out there. And like I said, when you're on your deathbed, you're never going to think about that job that you left or whatever when you're on that deathbed. You're going to think about your relationship with Yahweh and your family and whatnot. And this little tiny bit of time we have on this earth, I pray and I hope that this last month has shown you as your great human potential, where, like I said, everybody in Satan's world are born into failure, you are better than that. The people of Yahweh can do better than that. We can do better than that. There's a world out there that needs us. And we are the only ones that have that message. So what's it going to be? Matthew 6, and look what the answer is, though, what they said to Yeshua. He's saying, do not treasure up for you treasures on earth where moth and rust cause to corrupt and where thieves dig through and steal. But treasure up for you treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust cause to corrupt, and where thieves do not dig and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. You're not kidding, Yahweh. You know, like I said, you're working 50, 60 hours a week at a job simply for cash. You're not kidding, Yahweh. Either your faith is zero because you can't do it, or you want the money or whatever it is, but certainly you're not putting the kingdom of Yahweh first. That has got to be the first thing in our life. Drop down to verse 24. No one is able to serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or cleave to the one and despise the other. You're not able to serve Yahweh and wealth. Because of this, I say to you, do not be anxious for your soul, what you'll eat and what you drink, nor for your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then he talks about the same thing. The birds of the heaven, you know, they don't reap, nor do they gather in barns, and yet Yahweh feeds them, right? Consider the lilies of the field, you know, they do not labor nor spin, but I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as one of them. And when you live in eternity, one of the first rules of eternity is the king. It's not like in our society. You see somebody homeless out there, and what do they say? Oh, he deserves it. Oh, he doesn't want to work. He deserves it. But in the kingdom, if there's even one person who's not cared for, it's on the king. It's on the king. So when we worry about these things, what will we eat? What will we wear? You know what we're doing? We're saying we don't believe that the king's going to care for us. We're not believing in Yahweh. It's a lack of faith. It's a total lack of faith. So this is where sometimes, where you have to judge your faith, this is where you have to look. Because you do have to work. You do have to earn money. You do have to pay your bills. But if you're only doing that job for that, like if you're not having the faith to say, well, maybe I can do something else, or maybe I can do it this way, then you have to start looking here and seeing, because that's the first step to recovery, is admittance. That maybe I don't have that faith yet, you know, and that's okay. The man, you know, that said to Yeshua, you know, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Because you're going to have to get over that step, and we're going to go over it here, how to do it. But you got to get over that step. So you can't build faith up. It's not an emotion. You can't try to get it. You either have it or you don't. And if you don't have it, you have to get it by doing it, as we're going to see. Mark 10 and verse 46. Very interesting story here. Mark 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and he and his disciples and a large crowd, having gone from Jericho, a son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus the blind, sat beside the highway begging. So here's this beggar out there, right? And hearing that it was Yeshua the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Son of David, Yeshua, have mercy on me. And many warned him that he be quiet. But he much more cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And standing still, Yeshua said for him to be called. And they called the blind one, saying to him, Have courage, rise up, he calls you. And the blind man, throwing away his garment, rising up, he came to Yeshua. And what you got to understand is the culture in that day, because you just read, okay, you know, had a coat, thrown it down and came to him. But that's not what they're talking about. The coat he had was called a beggar's coat. And in the first century, it was illegal to beg unless you had permission. It's almost like today being a vendor. You know, you have to have a license to be a vendor. You just can't go on the street and start selling whatever. So in order to be a out there as a beggar, literally you had to have that beggar's coat. And here it was, as he's calling out to Yeshua, and Yeshua calls for him, the first thing he did was throw down that coat. What does that tell you? That means that if he's not healed, he has no way to sustain himself anymore. The faith he's showing in Yeshua, so he's not showing the faith afterward. He's not showing the faith when he was healed. He's not showing the faith after he got what he wanted. He is showing the faith to say, I believe you. I believe you. And whatever comes from here, I'm ready for it. And maybe, you know, maybe he wouldn't have been healed, right? But he believed that whatever came from there, throwing away his garment, rising up, he came to Yeshua, and answering Yeshua said to him, What do you desire I do for you? And the blind one said, My Rabboni, that I may see again. And Yeshua said, Go, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. An elder is nothing. An elder has no power. An elder is a tool like a hammer. You know, when you build your house, at the end of building that house, you don't have a big party for the hammer and say, wow, that was such a great hammer. I never had a hammer like that. You know, let's celebrate the hammer. No. And I have, like I said, I have laid hands on thousands of people over the years, and I have no power myself. Yahweh has the power. But what heals a person is their faith. And I know it. I know it when I feel my hands. I can feel the heat. I can feel power going out, and I know it. And it's because the person had the faith to be healed. There's no magic pill there. It's the belief in Yahweh, just like he says here. Go, your faith has healed you. And instantly he saw again and followed Yeshua in the highway. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh honors it when we show faith in him. Fear, though, is the opposite. Fear is the opposite of faith. It comes from worrying about self. And again, false evidence appearing real, the acronym for fear. 90% of fears never come to pass. That's the what-ifs. Like I say, you got to get that out of your vocabulary. The language of agape don't have what-ifs. It has what will be. But not the what-ifs. It's what will be, right? Who was, who is to come. The problem is we love and trust ourselves too much. And that's the ironic part. That people, a lot of times, will not have faith in Yahweh, but they'll have faith in themselves. Right? And think about that. If you can't trust in Yahweh to provide for you, right? But you're willing to go out and provide for yourself, which again, I'm not saying not to work, to quit your job or whatever, but you're trusting in yourself. So many times people will trust in themselves above Yahweh, and it's the opposite of faith. And it comes because of fear. You know, because again, it's the normalcy bias. We can't see Yahweh, right? He's a spirit. But when you live in eternity, all of that changes. Because in eternity, all that's there is Yahweh. So we have to make sure, like I said, everybody has faith in something. The problem is most have it in themselves. Everybody has faith in something. And when we're having fear, we're putting too much trust in ourselves, and it holds back our faith. Yahweh is the only answer through fear. Trusting in his promises, faith is a mindset. It's a mindset, and you have to believe it every day. And again, it doesn't mean everything will turn out the way you want it. What it means is everything will turn out good for those who love Yahweh and those who are called according to purpose. And sometimes, in order to do that, it's hard decisions, you know. But the only way you will build your faith is by stepping out. Like I said, it's not an emotion, it's not a feeling, it's an act. It's an act. Ezra 10, in verse 10. And sometimes they're hard decisions. Like I said, a new person coming to faith who has to quit their job because of the Sabbath. A person that may have cancer, it might even die, and has to make that decision. Do I take the chemotherapy? You know, or not. So they're very hard decisions sometimes. Sometimes hard decisions about, you know, leaving behind a family member that is just not conducive to your spiritual life. And here we see, but we have to obey at any cost. Ezra 10 and verse 10 to 11. And this is where what happened. The people were coming back to the land, and they started going out, and they started intermarrying with the people of the land. And Ezra found out. And in verse 10 it says, Ezra the priest stood up and said to him, you have trespassed and have dwelt with foreign women to increase the guilt of Israel. And now make confession to Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers, and do his will. And separate yourself from the people of the land and from the foreign women. And what the people say? They said they'll do it. Verse 12, then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, right, according to your word, it is on us to do. But the people are many, and it is time of heavy rain, and we're not able to stand outside, and the work is none of 1 or 2 days, for we have greatly sinned. And then they talk about how much time it will take. Wow, you're talking about leaving family members. You're talking about tough decisions. And it's not always tough decisions like that, but you mentally have to be ready for that. He who puts father, mother, sister, brother, child before me is not worthy of me. Because that's covenant relationship. Yahweh has to be first in our life. He's got to be first above everything. And compromise is not a word that is in our vocabulary. It's not part of the language of agape. And you know, one thing you'll find out though, the more obedient you are and the more faith you have, the less those big trials come up. Where in your life you have these big trials to come up like this is when you are compromising. And then you're going to have more trials to come up from this, right? So like these people, if they weren't compromising, they would have never had to have this trial to separate. So the more faith you're showing and the more faith you're living by, the more blessings you're going to have in your life and the less big decisions. You're always going to have some decisions because we're always growing. But the less big decisions you're going to have to make in that case. So the answer is trusting on Yahweh. Faith is a mindset. You have to have it every day. 1 John 4. Because how do you get rid of this fear? It's a human emotion. There is a time that fear could be good. You know, if there's a gigantic bear that's about 5 feet from you and he's holding up his claws, might be a good time to fear a little bit. But how do you get rid of this fear? 1 John 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love the language of agape. That's the way you get rid of fear, because fear is not in that language. Let us love one another, because love is of Yahweh. And everyone who loves has been generated from Elohim and knows Elohim. The one who does not love has not known Elohim, because Yahweh is love. By this was the love of Elohim toward us made known, because Yahweh sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live by him. In this is love, not that we loved Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be atonement for our sins. That has got to be what we're thinking about every day. That has got to be our eternity. That has got to be our reality. Drop down to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love which Elohim has in us. Yahweh is love, and the one abiding in love abides in Elohim, and Elohim in him. By this, love has been perfected in us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment, that as he is, we are also in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and we all know it. When you're fearing something, you're tormented. And the one fearing has not been perfected in love. We love him because he loved us first. If anyone says, I love Elohim, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one not loving his brother whom he has seen, how is he able to love Yahweh who he has not seen? And we have this commandment from him, that he who loves Elohim ought to also love his brother. So this is what I was saying, that faith is built through relationship. And as you get to know Yahweh better, and as you get closer to him, you're automatically going to build your faith. And his love, his agape, his language is going to go throughout your life, and it's going to build that faith in you. And there is no fear in love, right? Perfect love casts out fear. And think about it, like as a parent, if you were out there and you're on a cliff, right? And your child was there and hanging on that cliff, and you had to save your child's life, there'd be no fear. The love for your child would make you go down there and grab that child's arm and pick him up. And there's miracles that have happened for people where literally a human being was able to lift a car because the spouse was underneath the car getting crushed. There are supernatural miracles that happen sometimes from agape and faith. Because boy, when you put them together, they're powerful. You know, faith, hope, and agape, the greatest of them is agape. But when agape and faith come together, you got something. You got something really, really powerful. And the hope for the kingdom on top of that. So love casts out fear. It's a gift from Yahweh. It's the language of agape. And what you have to see is when you're having a spirit of fear, you have to see you don't have perfect love. You have to see that's all from selfishness. If you were totally got rid of all self to yourself, you'd have no fear. Because who's going to sit there? Like, am I sitting here fearing, oh, I just got all this fear. What happens if Donald Trump goes to prison? Oh, I'm so fearful. Nothing, you know, I don't want him to go to prison, but I certainly don't fear it. Why would I fear him going to prison? But I fear if I was going to prison, right? Because I don't want to be in prison. I would fear it like anything. And we have to understand, fear comes from self. That's where it comes from. So when you're having a spirit of fear, you got to get rid of that self. And perfect love casts out fear. Because what's perfect love? Perfect love is loving Yahweh with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Because your neighbor's made in the image of Yahweh as you are. And like I said, build that relationship. You build that relationship. Know Yahweh. Hear his voice. Wake up every day. You can't wait to open up your Bible to talk with him. Like I said, you're praying and you're talking to him. Good morning, Dad. And this, you open your Bible and he talks back to you. Have a live, living conversation with him every day of your life. And most of my prayers are not formal prayers on my hands and knees. Most of my prayers are just all day long talking to Yahweh. That's all prayer is. Whether I'm walking, whether I'm in the car, wherever I am, in the supermarket, it's talking to Yahweh all day long. That is what will build your faith. But you got to get rid of fear, Revelation 21, because fear is not in eternity. Fear is only in time. There is no fear in eternity. Revelation 21, verse 5. The one sitting on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the ending." Right? Just like the great eclipse that came across America and made the Aleph and the Tav. "The beginning and the ending. To the one thirsting, I will freely give of the fountain of the water of life. The one overcoming will inherit all things, and I will be Elohim to him, and he will be the son to me." If we believe this, where would fear come in? Where would you need anything else? Read it every day. Like I said, put these scriptures on your refrigerator. Read it over and over and over again, like the song. And convict yourself that this is 1,000% true. But look at verse 8. "But to the cowardly and the unbelieving, and those having become sinful, and then the murderers and fornicators and all them, what's their part? And all liars, their part will be the lake burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So the unbelieving and the cowardly. Because it's a spirit of self, and self is in time. Self-righteousness is part of time, it's not part of eternity. It's belief in Yahweh. So fear, which is again lacking in faith, the opposite of faith, will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. 1 John 3 and verse 14. 1 John 3 and verse 14 says, "We know that we have passed from death to life." Why? "Because we love the brethren. The one not loving his brother remains in death." Verse 16. "By this we have known his love toward us, because that one laid down his life for us, and on behalf of the brethren, we are to lay down our lives. But whoever has worldly possessions sees his brother in need and shuts up his mercy from him. How is the love of Elohim in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Deeds make faith. Deeds build faith. So the more you get your mind off yourself and the more you're serving others, there'll be no fear. Because there's no fear in perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. Acts 2 and verse 37. The very first New Testament congregation. And look how they were. Acts 2 and verse 37. "And hearing, they were touched in the heart, and said to Simon Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men or brothers, what shall we do?'" This is your... after Peter powerfully, on the day of Shavuot, we have Shavuot coming here soon, powerfully preaches to them and tells them about how Yeshua is the Messiah, you know, and all these things. And then they're pricked in the heart and say, "What do we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Yeshua Yahweh, for the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the gift of the Spirit of Holiness. For the promise is to you and your children and all those afar off, as many as the Master Elohim will call." And with many other words, he earnestly testified and exhorted, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." I'm telling you that today. Be saved from this perverse generation. Separate from it. Come out from among them and be separate. And with many other words, he earnestly testified and exhorted, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And some of them readily received his words and believed and were baptized. And there were added that day 3,000 souls, right? And they were continuing steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came to every soul. A good fear, not the motivating fear, not the bad fear. And signs and many mighty deeds occurred by the hands of the apostles in Jerusalem. And all the believers were echad and had all things in common. And they sold possessions and goods and distributed to them according as any had need. And continuing steadfastly with one mind, right? It's about surrendering your will to the will of Yahweh. Not holding on to those things that we put in that box the other day. Got to let them go. And with one mind, day by day in the sanctuary and breaking bread from house to house, they shared food in gladness and simplicity of heart. They were praising Yahweh while finding favor before all the people. And every day our master would add to those who lived among the congregation. Wow, what a great time that must have been. How powerful and the miracles that were happening. Why? Because, like I said, miracles are an outward extension of your faith. And as Yahweh is pouring that faith out now, and I hope you're praying for Shavuot, because we got some Shavuot coming this year. And as Yahweh is pouring out that Spirit, there'll be miracles just because that's what His Spirit is. It's a spirit of miracles. And the more belief people have, the more miracles that are going to come. One of the reasons is because people are relying less on Satan's system. We limit Yahweh when we put our trust in Satan's system. Why would Yahweh come and give you anything if you're part of Satan's system and you're asking Satan on the other side? So as we come out of that system, there'll naturally be more miracles because Yahweh has to. All different miracles, including healing, casting out demons, all different kinds of things. So this was the very first congregation. It's a living message, right? It's a living message that's there. Jacob 2 and verse 14. Probably the greatest verses here in the New Testament on faith because it's powerful. You have to have the deeds. And as you do it, it will build on itself. You have to take that first step, though. You have free will. And as you go out and you do these things, and now as you're going out and doing ministry plans, wow, this is really going to get fun and exciting. Jacob 2, verse 14. My brothers, what is the gain if anyone says he has faith but does not have deeds? Is faith able to restore him to life? But if a brother or a sister is naked and may be lacking in daily food, and any one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but does not give them the things of the body they need, what is the gain? So also faith, if it does not have deeds, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith apart from your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds, right? So like I said, the miracle is the outward extension of the faith. The more faith you have, you're going to start seeing miracles. And sometimes they're little miracles in your life. Right? A tiny little miracle that can happen. You know, you're praying to Yahweh for something. You need an appointment somewhere that you can't get. And Yahweh just opens up that door. Every day in your life when you're trusting in Him, you'll see these little miracles in your life. You believe that Elohim is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. But are you willing to know, O vain man, that faith apart from deeds is dead? Was our father Abraham justified by his deeds, offering up his son Isaac on the altar? You see how faith helped in his deeds, and how by his deeds the faith was made perfect. And that's why I said that without the faith in Yahweh's promise, he would have never did the deed. Because he waited, you know, 100 years to get this child, and Yahweh made that promise that this child, through his seed, all the earth will be blessed. Yahweh showed him the Maseroth, he told him the whole plan of salvation, and said, your son is the beginning of that. That's the beginning of this everlasting covenant. This boy here. So then Yahweh says, kill him. Right? So was it the deed? Abraham willing to kill? No, it was the faith that brought the deed. Because without the faith, if he didn't believe in Yahweh's promise, he would have never did that. And I wonder, which one of us would have done it? You know? Because sometimes, you know, like it says we look through a glass half darkened. And there's times when, and it's fine, we're human beings, we don't always know Yahweh's will. So if you're getting there with a knife and you're ready to put it in your child, and you believe that Yahweh will raise him up because of the promise, boy, you better know Yahweh's saying the right thing, you know? Because that's something Yahweh doesn't normally say, you know, put a knife in your child. But here it was, Abraham had the faith. Without the faith, he would have never did the deed. And the scripture was fulfilled saying, Abraham believed Yahweh and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called friend of Elohim. You see then how a man by his deeds becomes righteous and not by his faith alone. And that's why Yeshua went from calling us servants to calling us friends. Because of our belief in him. Because faith built relationship. And in the beginning, think about it. It's almost like a child. When you're young, you fear your father, you know, and not just respect him, you respect him, but you fear him. You know, my dad had a belt buckle, and I knew if something was going wrong, that belt buckle was coming across my head. So I had literal fear. But as your parents get older, you don't have that kind of fear for them. But the respect grows greater, and the relationship grows greater. So that's the same with Yahweh. You know, when we come to him, we have literal fear. Fear the one who not can take your body and destroy it, but can take your body and soul and destroy it in Gehenna. But then that fear goes into not so much of a physical fear as it is for respect, because as you build that relationship, the relationship builds into it. And it's just like what Yeshua, like I said, the relationship that started as servants and calling him master, which he always will be our master. But in the end, as he's having that last Passover with them, he calls them friends. You know, they're his friends now. That relationship built into an intimate relationship, and that's what happens when we show the faith. It builds that way. So you see then, a man by his deeds becomes righteous, and not by faith alone. Verse 26, for as the body is dead apart from the spirit, so is faith without deeds is dead. It's an oxymoron. There is no such thing as faith without deeds. You have to have the faith in order for Yahweh to... you have to have the deed in order for Yahweh to back up your faith. Luke 17. So, we don't want to do just the minimal. And that's what happens sometimes, you know, like we look at the Torah, and, you know, we wear a tzitzit, and we don't wear mixed clothing, and, you know, we keep Shabbat, and don't eat, you know, pork or shellfish or unclean food. And that's all great, because that's all part of Yahweh's system, Yahweh's Torah, and we should be doing all of them. But like he says, the greater part is mercy, faith, and justice. You shouldn't do one without doing the other. And here it is in Luke 17, in verse 5. And the apostles said to our master, give us more faith. That's what they're asking. Give us more faith, right? That's what we should be saying to Yahweh now. Please, Father, give me more faith. And he said to them, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard, and it's a pretty small seed. We had mustard seed from Israel that we got. Wow, that is such a tiny seed, you can't imagine. You may say to the sycamore tree, be rooted up and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or tending a flock, will immediately say to him, coming out of the field, come recline. But will he not say to him, prepare something that I may eat, and having girded yourself, serve me until I eat and drink, and after these things, you shall eat and drink. What does he receive, that servant? Because he did the thing that was commanded. I think not. I don't think so. Likewise, even you, when you've done all the things you're commanded, you say we are idle servants because we're only done what we ought to. So he's asking them, how do we build the faith? You build the faith by doing more. You don't build your faith by just doing what's commanded. That's called an idle servant. Because you have to do it. Like even it's Peter says, you know, if you're persecuted for something you did wrong, what's the great deal? You're only getting what you deserve. But if you're persecuted when you did nothing wrong, that's great in Yahweh's eyes, because now you're being like Yeshua. So the same way here, if you're only doing what's commanded, consider yourself unprofitable. And they ask him, this is what he said as soon as they asked, how do we build our faith? You build your faith by going out there and doing. That's the way you build your faith. And like I said, I know when I came out of Church of God, and I just was, Yahweh started opening my mind to the subject, that it's not about sitting in a row of chairs and just praying and paying. That may be part of it. We do have to tithe and we do pray, but each of us has to do a work. There has to be a work out there. And I didn't know what work to do, and I figured, let me do everything and see what sticks. You know, what on the radio, go out to the homeless, go over here to soup kitchens, you know, help people over here, whatever it is. You know, preaching over here at the YMCA, just do whatever and see what sticks. And the things that stick, magnify it. The things that don't, you drop it. But I know my faith built a lot in those days. Because the more you are out there, the more faith you're going to build. And you're not going to build faith, you know, sitting in your living room. That's not the way you're going to build the faith. Faith, believe, and trust. Faith equals believe and trust. Belief is not enough. That's what people think. Faith is simply belief, but it's not enough. Like you said, the devils even believe. But they certainly don't have faith. Faith is trust. Faith is an action. Faith is doing. And that's why I used to tell people years ago, you know, and they'd ask me, you know, do you believe in the Sabbath? And I'd say, yeah, I believe in the Sabbath. I don't say that anymore. I say, I keep the Sabbath. Because what good is to believe in it if I'm not keeping it? I keep the Sabbath. I don't just believe in it. I keep it. You know, the same as the Amish man, remember? How many people have a TV? 52 hands come up. How many people think all this evil stuff on TV? 52 hands come up. How many people are going to go home and get rid of the TV? Not one hand goes up. Right? So today you make that choice. Do you believe or do you keep? What is it? Because the demons believe, but the demons certainly don't keep. We have a gift that we've been given here of Yahweh building our faith. And like I said, use that. Don't let one day go by. Use it. Put that work out there. Put that deed out there. Don't just believe. Keep. Whatever it is that you're saying you believe, look what action has to come from that. Because there's an action to every belief. So if there's things in your life that you're saying you believe, but there's no action, then you don't have faith. Put the action to the belief, and that's where the life changes. And if we trust on Yahweh, we would never worry about tomorrow. We're seeing that, right? We should have no worry, because He's there. If He's there, why would I worry? You have no idea how many people, when this ministry started, and like I said, before we left Babylon, I worked, I made money, I had no problem, I never took any salary, nothing. And then when we left Babylon, and Yahweh started the ministry in Israel, He said, now you work for me. You work for me. And I remember people telling me over and over and over and over, don't you have an IRA? Don't you have a 401k? Don't you have all this stuff? And I'm like, Yahweh said, work for me. If He's my boss, He's got it. You know, I got a great IRA up there in heaven, you know, but we'll see when it comes. It's greater than I can ever imagine. But I thought to myself, you know what? I don't see anybody else doing this, but I'm going to try it. And like I said, I read those scriptures in Matthew 10. I said, I am going to just follow this to the T, word for word. He says, go out and do this. Go. Don't take this in your, whatever it says, I'm going to do it exactly. And wow, did blessings start to come. And then I'm thinking to myself, is all these people through the years keep telling me how stupid I am because I don't have, you know, retirement and all this. And I'm thinking, well, if Yahweh's word says this, right, and it's very clear He says it, and He says trust in Him, and if nobody is doing that, and then one person decides to do it, is He not going to back me up? Am I going to get up there, you know, I die and it's the resurrection? He's like, oh, Don, you should have taken out that 401k. You know, what are you doing? So that built my faith, because seeing that people weren't doing it, seeing His word, I called Him to that, the same way He calls me, and says, look, you're in covenant relationship, you have to do this, right? The person who comes, working in the field all day. No, you don't sit down, you do my work, and then you eat. So the same way, we should not be timid with calling Yahweh with His promises. He wants us to. He wants us to believe in Him. And whoever that is, it's up to Him. You know, I never tell Him how to take care of me, but I'm in His hands. He knows what I need more than I do. And I can tell you honestly, in all my years of being out of Babylon, there's never once that I ever complained. Never once that I asked Him, you know what, I'm missing this, because He always provides. But you've got to believe it. And then you've got to be satisfied, whatever it is. So like I said, one night I can be in a $500 Hyatt hotel that I was given for free because my flight got delayed. And maybe the next night I'll be in a prison cell, you know, sleeping on a floor, you know, on straw, whatever. Whatever His will is fine. Because all I know is it's not that bed that's making my ministry. Might be nice, a little comfortable. And like I said, those heated toilets, they were really something. But those are just fringe benefits that come from it. I know my vision is the work of Yahweh. My vision is His work, and I'm like, when I leave the house, I make sure my family is set, everything's good, but once I leave the house, my mind is on His work, and I know I pray even when I'm in the airport, because I don't know. Maybe I'm in that airport and I'm on my way to Kenya, and someone may come up and give me a ticket to South Korea, and the plans may change right there. Whatever His will is, you've got to be hearing His voice in your life for that. And it's an exciting way to live. Because one thing, Yahweh's, being a servant of Yahweh, it is not dull. Not whatsoever. But you have to have this kind of faith. I say a lot of times, you know, I compare it like with the electric bill. And if you get a letter in your mail, whatever, email or to your house, and it's from your electric company, and it's in red. Whenever you see red, you know you're in trouble. And it says, shut off notice. You know, June 14th, you're getting your electric shut off. What happens? You know, no matter what, you're going to be there June 13th with that money, whether you got to beg, borrow, you know, or take a loan out. And I think to myself, that's faith, right? That people are believing that that electric company is going to do what they said. They're going to shut your electric off, you know, come June 14th. And I ask people, do you know the person who owns your electric company?
No.
Do you know the person who sent you the letter? No. You mean you don't even know this person? Is he a human being? Yeah, he's a human being. And you have faith in him? You trust to the point that you'll do anything to get in that office June 13th and pay that bill? Oh yeah, if I don't pay it, they're going to shut my electric off. I say, sometimes we're showing more faith in a worldly company that we don't even know who's running it than we are in Yahweh. Because Yahweh's word gives us a lot of warnings like that too. The fearful will not be in his kingdom, right? Unless you forsake everything, you can't be my disciples. Are we believing Yahweh the same way we're believing when we don't pay the electric bill? Where is our trust? Faith is not knowing that everything will work out in your favor, but trusting in Yah's promises enough to know whatever happens will be his will. Matthew 14. And I think we all want to have that faith. We all try to have that faith, but sometimes it's hard. Because like I said, it's the normalcy bias, it's the world around us. And let's see an example here from the Apostle Peter that went in a situation like this. Matthew 14 and verse 23. And having dismissed the crowds, he went up to a mountain alone to pray, Yeshua. And even in coming on, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was against it. But in the fourth watch of the night, Yeshua went out to them walking on the sea. Can you imagine? This boat is like this. And on the Sea of Galilee, you can have waves 20 feet high. They literally can be 20 feet high in the Sea of Galilee. And seeing him walking on the sea, the disciples were troubled, to say the least. And they're thinking it's a false vision. And they cried from the fear. But immediately Yeshua spoke to them, saying, be comforted, I am, do not fear. And answering him, Peter said, Master, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And going down from the boat, Peter walked on the water to Yeshua. Like I said, not only did Yeshua walk, a human being walked on water. But what happened yet? Next. And seeing the wind strong, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Master, save me. And immediately stretching out the hand, Yeshua took hold of him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me? And coming into the boat, the wind quieted down. So what happened? He went out in faith, right? Sometimes like we do. But we see those strong winds come around us. So we're stepping out of faith and, things might not be working in the right direction. You know, I quit my job over the Sabbath. I didn't get a new job yet. I'm out of work for 6 months. I'm getting these letters, you know, from the electric company that they're going to shut off my electric. I'm behind in my mortgage, right? We start to see those winds around us. And what happened? Fear came in. Fear came in. You got to get that out of your life. You got to get any type of fear, because fear is not in the agape language. And fear really doesn't exist. It's false evidence appearing real. Because you know what? If Yahweh really is, Hebrews 11:6, then there is no fear. How could there be anything to fear if Yahweh exists? You got to get it out of your life. You got to reprogram. You got to break those patterns. You got to get any type of fear out of your life, period, because it's false evidence appearing real. So that's what happened. When reality comes in sometimes, that's when we start to falter. But our reality has to be eternity, not time. Don't worry about the reality in time, because you know what? Even if they turn your electricity off, so what? Even if they take your house, so what? You know? Even if they wind up, you know, not getting another job, so what? Life goes on. Like I said, there's always a winter and the spring is always going to come. Life goes in cycles. And whether people believe in Yahweh or not, they have good times and they have bad times. But when you believe in Yahweh, there's only good times. Even through those challenges, some of them are the best times of your life because you're growing the most. You got to get the fear out, though. Romans 4 and verse 13, it's a covenant of faith. That's what our covenant is. Romans 4 and verse 13. Says, for the promise was not through law to Abraham or to his seed, for him to be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness of faith. Right? Because you don't have to have faith to keep law. You keep law for fear of what the consequences are for breaking it. But you do have to have faith to be part of the covenant. For if they who are of the law were heirs, faith would be made void and the promise of no effect. For the law works out wrath. For where there is no instruction in the Torah against an action, then there is no transgression. On account of this, it is of faith that it be according to grace, for the promise to be certain to all his seed, not to that of the law only, but also to that of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. That's how we know we get grafted in the ones of the nations through this. According as it has been written, I have appointed you a father of many nations before Elohim whom we believe. The one making the dead live and calling the things that are not as if they were. He against hope believed in hope, for him to become a father of many nations according to what has been said. So shall your seed be. He believed it. And being about 100 years old, he never weakened in faith, even when he examined his whole body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he did not hesitate at the promise of Elohim as one lacking faith, but he was strong in faith and gave glory to Elohim, and felt assured that what Yahweh had promised, he was able to fulfill. Hebrews 11:6. Because of this, it was also accounted to him for righteousness. But it was not written for him only that it was accounted to him, but also on account of us, to whom is about to be counted to the ones believing in him who has raised our Master Yeshua from the dead, who was delivered because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So do we unconditionally believe like righteous Abraham did? That's what he's saying. Here it's now the end. Abraham was there, right? He didn't receive his promise yet. He's still waiting in the grave. And he's going to get his promise exactly when we get our promise. Romans 10 and verse 13. And how do we build that? For everyone who ever may call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. How then may they call on one whom they've not believed? And how may they believe on one whom they've not heard? And how may they hear without a preacher? And how may they preach if they have not been sent? Even as it has been written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, of those preaching good things. But not all obey the good news, for Isaiah says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. Faith comes by hearing the word of Yah. You have to condition yourself. You have to be reading your Bible every single day. Like I said, make copies of those Psalms, those powerful scriptures. Right? Your empowering scriptures. Copy them. Put them everywhere. Read them over and over and over again. Because what happens to the ones who's not? Look at verse 18. But I say, have they not all heard? Yes. Rather, into all the earth their voice went, and to the ends of the world their words. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by a non-nation, by an unwise nation, I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those not seeking me. I became known to those not inquiring after me. But to Israel, he says, all the day I stretched my hands to a disobeying and contradicting people. Here we are. Thousands of years later, same thing. Israel is still in unbelief. Israel is still not seeking out to Yahweh. And they're suffering the consequences that happen. So it's not only hearing, but it's submitting. It's not only hearing, but it's submitting. It's doing. Faith is a deed. And the more you do, the more it builds. And the more Yahweh will intervene. Like I said, miracles are an extension of your faith, not there to create faith. Acts 5, let's look at one of the most amazing chapters, I think, in all the Bible. For these early believers that had that faith, that believed unconditionally in Yahweh. We're going to start verse 12, Acts 5 and verse 12. It says, in many miraculous signs, many miracles, and wonders among the people took place through the hands of the apostles, right? Yahweh works through our hands. And they were all with one passion in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, no one dared to touch them, but the people greatly magnified them. So miracles are happening, healings are happening, demons are being cast out, and even the Pharisees that are against them are getting scared because they're afraid. And that's what it says in Deuteronomy, that once you're obedient, people will be afraid of you because they know that Yahweh's spirit is on you. They'll fear to touch you. And more were added, those who believed in Yahweh, both men and women, so as to carry out the sick in the streets and place them on cots and mattresses, that at the coming of Peter, if even his shadow might overshadow some of them. Talk about faith. So he's not even talking just about being prayed over. He's saying just his shadow passing by, these people would be healed. And also the multitude came together from the cities around Jerusalem, bringing sick ones and those being tormented by unclean spirits, who were all healed. The high priest and all those who were with him, who were of the doctrine of the Sadducees, were filled with envy, right? So they giving glory to Yahweh? No, that's time, that's the human spirit. And they placed hands on the apostles and seized them and bound them in prison. But a cherub of Yahweh opened the doors of the prison during the night and leading them out said, go, and standing in the sanctuary, speak to all the people the words of life. These are words to us now. Go and standing, speak to the people the words of life. And hearing, they went into the sanctuary about dawn and taught. But having come near, the high priest and those with him called together the Sanhedrin, all the elderhood of the sons of Israel. And they sent to the jail to have them brought. But having come near, the officers did not find them in the prison. And returning, they reported, saying, indeed, we found the jail having been shut with all security, and the guards outside standing before the doors, but opening it, we found no one inside. And when they heard these words, both the priest and the sanctuary commander and the chief priests were in doubt concerning them, what it might be, right? You can't fight the spirit of Yahweh. But having come, one reported to them, saying, behold, the men who you put in prison, they're in the sanctuary, standing and teaching the people. Then the commander, going with the officers, they brought them, not with force, for they feared the people that they might be stoned. And bringing them, they stood in the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not command you by a command that you not teach in this name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring on us the blood of this man? You see how they couldn't even say his name. They couldn't even say the name of Yeshua, as they can today. But answering, Peter and the apostle said, is it proper to persuade toward Yahweh than toward men? The Elohim of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whom you seized, hanging him on a tree. This one, Yahweh, has established a prince and a savior to his right hand, so that he might give of forgiveness to Israel by repentance of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and also of the Ruach HaKodesh, whom Elohim gave to those obeying and believing him. And after they heard these words, they were enraged with anger, and they were contemplating killing them. Good luck. Good luck. What would have happened if they tried that? But one standing in this Sanhedrin, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the Torah, honored by all the people, commanded the apostles to be put outside for a little while. And he said to them, men Israelites, take heed to yourself what you intend to do to these men. For before in the days of Theudas rose up, claiming himself to be someone, to whom was joined a number of men in 400, who was done away with, and all, and many obeyed him, were dispersed and came to nothing. After this, there was Judas the Galilean, who rose up in the days of the registration, and he drew considerable people after him. Yet that one perished, and all were scattered, as many as obeyed him. And now I say to you, keep yourself from these men and leave them alone. For if this thinking is from men, they will disintegrate and pass away. But if it is from Elohim, it is not attainable to hold it with your hands, lest you find yourself standing against Elohim. And they obeyed him, calling the apostles, having scourged them, having commanded not to speak on the name of Yeshua, even they set them free. And they departed from before them, rejoicing that they were worthy because of the name to be despised. Do we feel that way? When we're thinking about things and it's not turning out the way we want it, are we thanking Yahweh that we can be despised, that we can be humbled for his name? And they would not cease all day to teach in the sanctuary and at home and to preach about our Master Yeshua, the Messiah. Wow. what days, right? And here we are. Everything comes full circle. Everything comes full circle, and we are living in those days now. We are living in those days now. This is what we're seeing. It was the first congregation Yeshua did this with. We are the last congregation that Yeshua is doing this with. But you have to believe. You have to believe that Yahweh is able to do this. We have to believe. We have to trust Him for all these things. Psalm 46 in verse 1. Psalm 46 in verse 1. We have to stop putting our faith in Satan's system. And that's the way Satan created the system. There has never, ever been a system like you see today where you can't survive unless you're part of that system or unless you're part of the kingdom of Yahweh. That's the only two people that will survive at the end. Either they're part of that system, right? You're not going to be able to buy and sell and all the other things. Or if you're part of the kingdom of Yahweh, you'll survive. Nobody else will survive, and that's why most people will take that system. Psalm 46 says, to the chief musician, to the sons of Korah, a song for the virgins, right? The 10 virgins, we want to be like that in the end. Elohim is our refuge and strength, very much found to be a help in distresses. On account of this, we will not fear when the earth changes and when mountains are slipping into the heart of the seas. Let its waters rage and foam. Let the mountains shake in its swelling. Selah. There is a river, its channels glad in the city of Elohim, the holy tabernacles of the Most High. Elohim is in the midst of her. She shall not be shaken. Elohim will keep her at the turning of the morning. The nations roared. Kingdoms were shaken. He gave forth his voice, and the earth melted. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The Elohim of Jacob is a refuge for us. Selah. And here we are in Selah. We have to take these words. We have to embrace them, right? We have to make sure that we are living this faith and letting that faith grow in our life. Hebrews 11. Because like I said, you have to make the choice whether you're going to live in time or whether you're going to live in eternity. And I know when we're becoming believers, it's not always easy. Yahweh knows that. That's why I said Yahweh comes to us where we are. And when people are brand new, they don't have that faith. It takes time to build faith. But Yahweh comes to them, and Yahweh does things in their life to show that faith. He does miracles in their life. I remember when I was just a new believer. I couldn't have been more than a believer a year or two. And I had a problem because I owned a house. And the person who sold me the house, I didn't know it when I bought the house. It was a three-family house, but it was only legally a two-family. And what this person did, I didn't realize this, he set it up to give me like a loan, because I couldn't buy the house, I didn't have enough money. And he gave me a loan where, personally, and he thought I would default on that loan, and he was going to take the house back, and I would have lost everything. What happens? Yahweh blesses me, I'm able to pay him off. And then he got mad and he reported me. The very person who sold the house to me reports me. And they come in there, and that's when I find out this house is illegal. I'm like, what am I going to do? You know? So I got a lawyer, said I have to go to court. So you go before a board. There's like whatever it is. I think it was 8 board members. And, you know, waiting there all night. And then finally they come up. And they say, you know, the city of, you know, Woodbridge versus Donald Esposito. And then he says, okay, due to the law in Woodbridge, we do not allow more than 2 family dwellings in the area that you're in. So we have to deny your, you know, application. He says, now would you like to give your case? So why give the case? You just denied it. He said, it's your money. So my lawyer gets up there and gives the case, you know, wasn't a big case, just pretty much I wanted it, you know. I wanted to give me a variance to get 3 family house. So it was the end of the night. They said, okay, we'll give you the answer come next week. Go back there the next week. A lot of brethren were there for moral support with me. And all of a sudden I thought it was strange because now there's only 7 people there, not 8. One didn't make it that night. I think, well, 7, number of completion. So all of a sudden they say, okay, we're picking up where we left off last week. Donald Esposito, you know, versus the state of Woodbridge. And then they get the first guy says to vote. He says, I vote for the variance. And then the second guy says, I vote for the variance. And the third guy gets up, I vote for the variance. And then all of a sudden, the lawyer gets up and says, wait a minute. What are you doing here? He says, this is illegal. We do not put these kind of variances there. And the guy goes, I don't know what we're doing, but are you going to stop me? And he throws his hands in the air. All seven people voted for me. Not only that, they not only voted because they don't have that variance, they voted the variance to me, not the house. And that nobody after me could ever get that again. And after it was over, that lawyer came up to me for the city, and he goes, boy, he goes, I don't know who you know in high places, but you got to know somebody, because I've been the lawyer for this for 40 years. I have never, ever seen that in 40 years. I said, yeah, I know some people in high places. I said, someday you'll get to know them too. But that's what Yahweh does. Sometimes when we're new, he'll come to us, but you got to step out. You got to step. And I believed it. I didn't know the outcome. I didn't know if they were going to tell me I'd have to leave that house because I couldn't afford the house without the rents that were coming. All I knew is I'm going to put this in Yahweh's hands. I'm going to trust in him, and I'm going to put it in his hands, and he'll take care of it. So, again, when that man, I believe, helped my unbelief, everybody's at that point. But take that belief you have and step out in the unbelief. Take what you have and grow on it. Take what you have and build on it. And the last scripture I want to go over here is in Hebrews 11, verse 13. It says, these all died by way of faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off and being persuaded and having embraced and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is not our world. This is Satan's world. We are strangers and pilgrims for the kingdom of Yahweh. For those saying such things make clear that they seek a fatherland. And truly, if they remembered that for which they came out, they had time to return. But now they stretch forth to a better, that is a heavenly land. Therefore, Yahweh is not ashamed of them for him to be called their Elohim, for he prepared a city for them. So some of us have left our country. You know, I'm a wanderer in a strange land. I don't have any country to go to, you know. But my country is the kingdom of Yahweh. That's the country I'm representing. That's who I'm an ambassador for. The same as some of you are. But all of us need to be looking at this. That we need to be coming out of the system. And like it says, everybody has opportunity to go back. But why don't we go back? Because we're looking for something better. We're not looking for Satan's system that will never give you any kind of consolation or peace. Satan's system will only give you fear. We're looking for a kingdom, a better land, the kingdom of Yahweh. We're looking for that same land that Abraham looked for, the same land that Isaac looked for, the same land that Jacob looked for, and all the other apostles and all the other people of Hebrews 11. And again, none of them received the promise. We're all going to get that together. But you know what? We just got that last baton. And we got to go and finish that race. We have to make sure that we get to that finish line. Because if not, wow, I don't even want to think about it. We risk losing everything we worked for to this point. So, to much is given, much is expected. And boy, has Yahweh given us something this last month. He's given me more than I could have ever imagined. You know, I feel I have grown more in faith in this last 30 days than I ever did in any program that I've ever done. I'm excited about moving on. I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for Yahweh's work. But the most thing I'm excited for is you. I'm excited to see you go out there and fulfill the great job that Yahweh has. So we need it. Faith is important. You know, faith, hope, and agape. And although agape is the greatest, faith is pretty close second behind. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.